Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. Before we get to Bedlam and everything, I just want to thank everyone who's listened all season long. You've listened through some sound effects in the background. You've heard my dog. You've heard Kyle in his shed with birds flying around. I have a new microphone, courtesy of Kyle. So hopefully, thank you for sticking with us through all the sounds and ridiculous audio problems we've had over the year. And I just want to thank everyone for listening all year. Kyle, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, no, it's been a lot of fun to get feedback from people. I had done a podcast off and on for basically since the blog started, just because it was a vehicle on which to post the podcast. But this is the first year that it's actually been good, and I attribute that more to you being on here than anything. But it's been a lot of fun. We've had some fun guests on. We still got to figure out what we're doing for next year, for going into 2016. I don't know if people, I don't know how many people we'll be able to stomach listening about Oklahoma State basketball, but we'll figure out something. It has been a lot of fun, though.
There's always something to talk about. You like the Thunder. I cover a lot of the Thunder.
Yeah, and we'll have
Travis Ford's or Phil Forte's sling can only bring us so far, right? We can only break down his injury so far.
We'll have Kyle Boone on to talk a lot of recruiting in January and February. So yeah, it'll be fun. But yeah, it has been great, and we appreciate everybody's feedback. It's cool to hear from people and actually to hear that people enjoy it and for some reason want us to continue doing it. So
I know, it's amazing, right? Well, you and I actually met up in Stillwater before the Bedlam game. You, me, Quade, a million. We had the whole PFB crew.
Yeah, you missed Nolan. He came right after you.
Yeah, Nolan was probably just big timing me. He's too cool for school. I'm just kidding. No, we had a great time up in Stillwater, but I think all of us, we were standing around kind of chatting before the game. I think we all kind of expected OSU to lose the game. Now, we obviously didn't know Mason Rudolph wasn't going to play at all, but we all kind of felt like what happened was going to happen, didn't we? At least I did. I don't know. Maybe I'm just
speaking to myself. I did pick Oklahoma State to win. I don't know how much of that was my head and how much was my heart. I would imagine most of it was my heart. Because I knew coming in that OU was better. I did think Rudolph would start. I wrote that he did have a broken bone in his foot, but that he was going to start because that's what people had said. That's what people had told me. And I thought that he could get it to the point where Walsh could kind of take over and. I feel like Walsh is really good at as a reliever. I don't know if he could have been a long reliever or if he's just like a closer or whatever. But I thought Rudolph would contribute more, and obviously he didn't do anything. He was horrific and clearly very injured and had surgery on Monday. So that was a big time disappointment and something that I don't think anybody expected.
Yeah, and once Walsh ran out there and I realized he was starting the entire game, like, OSU basically didn't have much of a shot to win the game. I mean, it's that simple. The only way they can move the ball is Mason Rudolph throwing it downfield. Now, Walsh hit some big throws, but he underthrew them by like 10 yards, and the receivers made outstanding plays. But all season long, we've seen them try to run the ball, can't, get in third and long, and Mason Rudolph bails them out because he's really good. Well, once he wasn't in there, Walsh did pretty good. I mean, the defense was probably more of the reason OSU got just hammered, but once they didn't have Rudolph in there, they could not go punch for punch for OU. And I don't think people are making enough big a deal about that as far as the game. Everyone just writes it off that, oh, OU's really good. Well, yeah, but we saw how terrible OU looked when they had Trevor Knight in at quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, Walsh is probably better than Trevor Knight, but still, once you get down to your second-string quarterback, all bets are off. And I was stunned. I mean, you wrote about it, and I totally agree with you. I'm stunned they brought in Mason Rudolph, and they were down 18 points. It looked like he didn't even want to be in there. And it completely backfired. I think it was a very panicked decision, an ill-advised decision. And I actually, Kyle, worry about how this will affect Rudolph. He obviously had a serious injury. How's that going to affect his relationship with Mike Gundy and Mike Yurcich? I would be kind of upset if I was him. I know he wanted to play, but I'm worried about how that dynamic will play out with how that went down and just how poorly it was handled.
Well, the thing that I don't understand about putting him in is, if you're gonna suit him up, then just start him. And if you're not gonna start him, then just don't suit him up. Like, don't like Like, they tried to make him, like, the jump starter, like Walsh is at times. There's another nickname for Walsh, by the way. But
I've got another one for him, by the way.
And that's not his deal. Like, that's not who he is. And not to mention the fact that it's, you know, 30 degrees and rainy, and he's trying to keep – I mean, he's the one guy out – well, I mean, everybody's hurt, but he's the one guy out there that you're like, man, he kind of needs to be warm going into the game. And they just roll him out there – you know, sitting on the bench for an hour, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, either start him or don't start him. It doesn't matter, but don't roll him out there in the middle of the second quarter. And Walsh was like 13 for 16 at that point. Like, he wasn't playing bad.
No, they gave up special teams, and their defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, Walsh. Well, he's not, you know, he's not Rudolph, but he wasn't, he hadn't been bad up until that point. I don't think he was the, and then Walsh comes in the next play after the pick six and throws a touchdown to James Washington. So.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? This goes all the way back to many years of Mike Gundy and quarterback flip-flopping. Yeah. Remember the game in 2013 when they started with Chelf for like three plays or two series? Then yank him for Walsh. Well, obviously they wanted Walsh to be the quarterback. They yanked him. They yanked Chelf after two series. Why did they even start Chelf? So he's panicked before. In Austin this year, when he kind of basically benched Mason Rudolph and put Walsh in on third and long and had him run a quarterback sweep. I still don't know how they won that game, but we've seen panic decisions before out of Mike Gundy at quarterback. I thought this may have been his worst one yet. I was stunned at the time. But I just it was a bad move, and he may be out for the bowl game. Bill Haston's reporting that he's having surgery on his foot. That's not going to help their appeal to the Alamo Bowl. If they want to go to the Alamo Bowl, they may fall all the way down to the Orlando Bowl, the Russell Wilson Sweatpants Bowl. But I just thought it was a horrible decision. But it may not have mattered with the way their defense was playing.
I still think the worst quarterback decision that Gundy's made is playing Zach in 2009 at OU instead of Whedon. That was after the Colorado game on Thursday night. Whedon had that just unbelievable second half in which he saved Alex Cade and got the win. And for the first time, you know, showed us what Whedon to Blackman was going to be. And then they put Zach out there for Bedlam, and you could tell he just wasn't – he couldn't go. And they just refused to bring Whedon in. And then same thing in the Cotton Bowl, you know, when they play Ole Miss. And I don't know. Gundy and quarterbacks, as good a coach as he is, and I wrote about that this week, he's been an unbelievable coach, and his coordinators have been great. He makes some weird decisions when it comes to QBs. He really does.
I was at that 2009 Bedlam game. I was covering it, and I was shooting the game down at the field level.
It's the worst.
And after one of the 10 times on third and long, they ran a toss sweep to the running back and just punted, just basically said, we're going to punt on third down. I just started shooting Whedon on the sideline just to, like, see if he was warming up, see if anyone was talking to him. I was like, they can't just let Zach with one arm keep playing, can they?
And well, they did.
They got shut out. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked up the record. I distinctly remember, I've written about this 100 times, but Googling the NCAA record for most punts in a game during the first quarter of that game, because it was just, you could tell it was not going to go well. That OSU team finished 6-2 in conference play as well.
That might have been Gundy's best coaching job. They lost Dez at the beginning. They had Zach with one arm and Hubert Anyam. Like, that was their offense.
Yeah.
And they still were playing for the South Division title that year, which is crazy. That's how good Mike Gundy is, even if he does flip-flop on quarterbacks. You said you took some heat for noticing Rudolph's shoes. It's the first thing I noticed.
Yeah.
He had the old Whedon high tops on, the white Whedon high tops.
I was sitting with Emilian and Quaid and Nolan. And by the way, I just got to say, we – obviously the game was terrible. It wasn't even fun if you were a third party, an innocent bystander. And obviously as an Oklahoma State fan, it's not fun. But we had a great time. We really did. Like, it was just – you know, you're playing for a Big 12 title. You're seeing all your old friends. Like, it was really fun. They all got to make fun of me all game, you know. Emilian was saying stuff like, sitting with a social media superstar, you know, all this different stuff. And it was stupid. But I said, man, I don't remember Rudolph wearing white high tops before. And, of course, Nolan and Emilian say, oh, well, you know, when Stoops wears a hat instead of a visor, OU's actually 5-1 in November games, and like, and you know, just all this stuff. But apparently, he had the shoes specially made for his foot or something.
Yeah. I mean, they looked like the old Whedon white ones that he'd wear on the road, the old Nike high tops.
I loved them. I
noticed them right off the bat.
Yeah, I thought they were
great. Think about this, Kyle. Is there a curse of Brandon Whedon? Think about it. Ever since he's left, every single year there's been an injury at quarterback, hasn't there?
Yeah.
And they've never finished the year with the one they started with, I think.
Well, yeah, that's true. But they've also... I mean, their offensive lines, I don't think, have been... I mean, especially this year. I think before, the issue is that you had a lot of guys who like to run it, and so just by nature, you're going to get guys hurt and whatever. But then this year, their pass blocking was good until the final couple games, and you saw that. I mean, Rudolph got sacked, what, 6 or 7 times in the Baylor game? You know, Walsh was having to get rid of it in a hurry on Saturday. So, yeah, it's been not great for Oklahoma State quarterbacks. It makes me just thankful that Whedon never got hurt.
I know. Well, he did, didn't he? Didn't he have like a broken thumb or something? He couldn't take a victory formation snap. I think that was the only injury he really...
Yeah, that was on his left hand, though. I don't really...
Yeah, and I think he may have hurt his foot or ankle or something. I remember him being hobbled one of those years, but... I'm getting old, and I'm tend to forgetting now. But I texted you after the Baylor loss that Baylor had some horses, and you have latched on to the thoroughbred theory. And
yeah.
I couldn't agree more with you. That's the biggest problem with Oklahoma State is, yeah, Gundy does a great job with the 2- and 3-star guys and makes them 3- and 4-star guys, but stars matter. And there's an article I want to bring up from Football Study Hall. Of course, my computer's running slow. Here we go. Okay. And he classifies schools into like tiers, like 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. And there's 11 teams in the 5-star group. It's Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas. Since 2003, the 11 teams in the 5-star group have combined for 21 appearances in the BCS title game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that... stars matter.
Yeah.
And if Mike Gundy and his crew want to win the Big 12 again or possibly make the college football playoff and do some damage there, they just got to get better players. Like you wrote it best. I mean, they've schemed their way and coached their tails off to get them to 10 wins. The coaching is not the problem. As much as we've liked to bag on Mike Yurcich, the coaching is not the problem. They don't have an offensive line or a running game, which is critical, and they just don't have enough guys on defense to slow down guys like Piran and Mixon.
Well, and Gundy, I thought his choice of words was so interesting after the game, because he was talking about how they ran out of gas on special teams. And I was like, special teams? Like, what? Like, just tackle somebody. Like, who cares? But I think he was saying that because I think that, like, with these, you know, with your OUs or even your Baylors recently, when you get these 4- and 5-star guys, it allows you to put your Chad Whiteners, your Seth Jacobs on special teams. And not that those guys aren't good players. They've been awesome players for Oklahoma State. But at an OU, maybe they're not as elite as some of the guys that OU is getting. So you can afford to put some of your really good athletes on special teams. And again, that's not to say that those guys are bad defensive players, but those teams are just deeper. And late in the season, when you're playing Baylor and OU at the end of November, that stuff matters. And it was very apparent, very clear in Oklahoma State's last two games that they just don't roll as deep as those teams. Like I said, you're going to win a Big 12 title every once in a while. You get a Brandon Whedon, you get a Justin Blackman, and you can kind of, you know, get through it. Maybe some teams get hurt. And it's not like everybody in the Big 12 recruits better than Oklahoma State. It's only a handful of teams. And so if you get an injury here or there, maybe you beat a team, you know, you catch them early and you beat them last second, whatever. You can win a Big 12 title. I just don't think you're going to win 9 of them like OU has.
Yeah, there's outliers. And he even lists in this article a few schools that are outliers. And I think Oklahoma State would fall in this too. But his first one he lists is Kansas State.
Yeah.
You know, they're last behind Iowa State in recruiting every year. But They have really good coaching, like Oklahoma State, and they every now and then will pop up and win a Big 12. But you're right. It's just they don't have enough of horses or thoroughbreds, or however you want to say it.
Well, and that's my thing is, like, it felt like on Sunday and into this week, all these Oklahoma State fans are just really just mad about the way Bedlam went, and rightfully so. But it's like Oklahoma State is basically Kansas State, but better. Like, and what I mean by that is they don't recruit a ton better, but they've been consistently better over the last 5 or 6 years. The last 6 seasons, they played their last game for either the Big 12 South or Big 12 title. That's unbelievable. Like, what else do you want from Oklahoma State? And I understand the idea of, like, well, we should be better than that. We should be winning Big 12 championships. And I just don't think that people appreciate what Gundy and those guys have done enough, because it's, you know, four and five star guys don't, you know, I don't know if Gundy's not recruiting them hard enough or if they just don't come to Stillwater, but it's not happened, and what they've done's been really impressive.
Yeah, it was only the 7th 10-win season in the history of the school, and Dez Bryant, 4-star, probably would have been a 5-star if his grades were questionable. I think that's how OSU got in on him. I think only OSU and LSU thought he had a chance to make grades. But Dez Bryant, 4-star, difference maker. You know, guys like that. And I think Baylor, to a certain extent, is kind of, yes, OSU has been remarkably successful. They've played for the Big 12 title, all the things you mentioned. Baylor's starting to kind of replace them in the hierarchy of the Big 12 because they're getting better players.
No, I would argue with that. I think that Baylor's replacing Texas.
Okay.
Or just like being
on Texas hasn't been relevant the last 7 years.
I just mean in like the way that they're structured. Baylor is structured like 08 or 07 Texas. Like they've got all these 4 and 5 star guys, and they just out athlete you. Like that's the Baylor is the new Texas, essentially, and Oklahoma State's kind of stayed the same in terms of what they're trying to do and their philosophy.
Yeah, that's probably a better comparison. Bowl projections. You and I talked about the Alamo. I didn't think about this, but you brought it up and said that TCU's probably going to get in on the Alamo Bowl over OSU, which I would hate because I covered the Russell Wilson Sweatpants Bowl last year. OU was there. It was a terrible bowl game. I mean, it's basically like the appetizer bowl. You know, some cities have two bowls and one's bigger than the other. The Russell Wilson Bowl, which is what we're going to call it from now on, is the appetizer to the Citrus Bowl. Like, it's the lesser of the bowls in that town. Yeah. And a 10-win OSU team is going to go to that game?
It is weird. And I wrote this incorrectly on Saturday night because I wasn't thinking about it correctly. But if Baylor wins this weekend, they go to the Sugar. And then and that's the way the Big 12 tiebreaker works. In my thinking, well, the next teams you got are TCU and Oklahoma State. The tiebreaker is head-to-head, so OSU would go to the Alamo. But once you get past the New Year's Six, bowls just take whoever they want, which is how it's really always been. I don't know why I thought that was different. But, yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing is that you could have 20 wins in the Russell Wilson Sweatpants Bowl.
I know.
Because you're going to have probably North Carolina and then Oklahoma State, which would be, you know, Larry Fedora against Mike Gundy. The game itself, like if you slapped Peach Bowl on it or Citrus Bowl or whatever, the game itself is actually pretty decent. It's just the Russell Wilson part is...
Yeah, and they play in it's a dump of a stadium. Orlando's not a fun town. I've been there twice. I went there for the bowl game and then for NBA Summer League. And it's during Christmas, like it's out of control. The bowl game didn't even have our hotel room, just to be honest with you. Like we got there, never heard of us, don't have a room. It's Christmas in Orlando. There's no hotel rooms anywhere. It was a gigantic fiasco. So I'm not looking forward to going back there.
Just be honest. You just want to see Oregon in the Alamo Bowl.
Well, that would be sweet. And I've been to the Alamo before, but it would be fun to cover. I could maybe get some Oregon swag out of the deal if I got that. But they're probably going to take TCU at the Alamo because they've never been there before.
Yeah.
OSU's coming off 2 losses. They don't have their starting quarterback. And it's Trayvon Boykin's last game. I think it's a cinch. They're going to take them and pit them against Oregon.
Yeah. And I talked to somebody who had discussed it with an Alamo Bowl, I don't know what you call them, rep or whatever.
Those dudes in the jackets?
Yeah, exactly. and he said that Oklahoma State losing its last two really kind of put them behind the eight ball. I didn't realize that bowls care about your momentum going into a bowl game, essentially. But I guess they do. And I don't think there's any way they take Oklahoma State over TCU.
Does TCU travel well? I have no idea. But I know OSU, it's been a roaring success every time they've been to San Antonio.
Yeah, I think TCU does. I just don't think they have as many horses. No, they don't have as many humans as Oklahoma State does in terms of
graduate. Fan base. Yeah, it's a private school.
But I think they would travel pretty well to San Antonio. That's Boykin's last game. You brought this up. It's really unbelievable that TCU is a 2-point conversion in Norman from being the Big 12 champ.
They would have beaten OU if they didn't go for two, because Trevor Knight was not scoring in overtime. I'm sorry. Now, I know Patterson said they were tired, kind of the Mike Gundy theory when he went for two. He thought they were tired. But I'm making Trevor Knight beat me. I'm putting nine guys in the box and say, have at it, Trevor. Let's see if you can throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
They had all the momentum going into that. And if he just goes to overtime, he probably wins. And with OU beating OSU, TCU is your Big 12 champion. And the Big 12 gets left out of the playoff yet again.
Yeah. So, and the weird part...
The Big 12 is thanking Gary Patterson.
The weird part of that is TCU has felt like the fourth best team since, I don't know, the middle of October, the end of October.
Since OSU beat them down, yeah.
Yeah, they really have. But even before that, they were squeaking by Kansas State. They were down to... they were trailing somebody else...
Kansas State,
maybe Tech. I can't remember.
They beat Tech on a crazy play, or else they would
have lost. Yes, that game too. So everybody talks about Oklahoma State winning at the last second. TCU, I mean, they've had probably as many games, if not more, as Oklahoma State winning at the last minute.
Well, their defense just got destroyed all year, and OSU beat them deep. OU was up 30-13 when Mayfield got hurt. I think they would have beat them down with Mayfield, but
so does the playoff committee.
Yeah, playoff committee has hated TCU all year. But speaking of bad defense, man, you wrote about the defense today.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I mean, they got, looking back now, it's kind of easier to see that their defense just flat out wasn't that great. They got lit up by Tech, just outscored them. Kansas State with a backup receiver quarterback lit them up. We saw what OU did. Texas had some success, but I mean, the defense was not up to Glenn Spencer's standards, now that we can kind of sit back and look at it.
Yeah, it really wasn't. You know, I wrote that in terms of defensive efficiency, so points per drive allowed, this was the worst since 2008. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. And now there are two things factored in. One, we haven't counted the bowl game, so maybe they shut out whoever they play in a bowl game, and that number drops and it looks better. But also, and Gundy and Bob Stoops both said this last week, you got some good quarterbacks in the Big 12 this year. And when you have good quarterbacks, the teams are tough to stop. You know, you had Boykin, you had Baylor's Ohio State impression of three deep at quarterback. Baker Mayfield's good. And of course, you look at the Kansas State game, and they got a receiver playing quarterback. So I don't know how far that excuse goes. But, it's... You know, it's funny because Nate in the comments had been saying this, you know, for a lot of the year. The comments that I saw him post were, you know, this defense isn't that good and people aren't talking about it. I think OKC Dave might have said that as well. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they kind of weren't.
Yeah, the secondary to me was the most disappointing part. I mean, that was supposed to be the strength of the team, with Peterson as a senior, Ashton Lampkin coming back, and they just got torched by Baylor and really everyone else, to be honest. So it's, and they've devoted a lot of recruits to that side of the ball, and you can argue that it's hurt the offensive side too.
Yeah.
They've put more emphasis on it. I think that's right. You got to, OU has the best defense in the Big 12. They're Big 12 champions. So I think that's the right philosophy. I'm just not sure what went wrong this year. It's hard to put your finger on it, because that 08 defense was horrid. They just had to outscore teams that year.
Well, so, and
to be compared to that one, it's not good.
And losing Jimmy Bean and Ryan Simmons doesn't exactly help you.
Yeah, that has to be said. Like, you can't just write that off. That's the leader of the defense and an NFL player at defensive end.
Yeah.
But what I have another nickname for you. Mason Rudolph posted an Instagram post about Walsh, and he hashtagged it John J. Rambo. We have another nickname for Walsh.
I saw that.
Like, that might be the best one yet.
It's,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
All right, Kyle, one more thing on Bedlam. I have a clip for you. What was more embarrassing, the outcome of the game or this? Listen.
What's going on there? Oh, no. What is that, a reindeer? What is that? What's going on there? Oh, no.
What was more embarrassing, Kyle, the game or the reindeer fan?
That wasn't good.
I'm sure it was a great idea at one point when he was thinking, okay, Mason Rudolph, he's Rudolph, the reindeer, I'll paint a reindeer's nose orange. And then he finds the costume, like, oh, it's great. And he doesn't put much thought into it. And that happens on national television.
You know, the worst part of it, I was at the game, and, you know, you don't get great cell service in the stands or whatever. And so I didn't really know much of anything that was going on Twitter or anything during the game. And so I get home, and like 1,000 OU fans had sent that to me on Twitter. And it's like, oh, great. Yeah, I haven't seen this before. Can somebody else send it to me? I mean, that was really bad. By the way, was that Chris Fowler that was saying what's going on?
Yeah, that was on the broadcast. Like, Fowler and Herbie were breaking down the reindeer fan.
Oh.
And that's the thing, like, that people don't really think about. And this happened at Tech when I was there. Like, fans that, like, dress up real funny and sit on the front row. Like, it's a great idea going into the game until your team gets blown out and you become a meme.
Yeah.
Like, remember the dudes, the Power Rangers at Tech?
Yeah. Yeah, that
was... Go to the game, they said. Dress like a Power Ranger, they said. Have fun, they said. There's already a Twitter account for it's Reindeer, Reindeer OSU, by the way. And I think the bio is like, go to the game, they said. Have fun, they said.
That's
pretty funny.
Yeah, that's unsurprising that somebody started that Twitter account. I thought you were going to talk about the Tech guy ringing the bell.
Oh, well, that's up there. That's in the Pantheon. That's in the Pantheon.
Hey, I think the reindeer's in the Pantheon now.
Oh, it's up there with Stunned Aggie from the A&M game, the guy with the foam hat.
Yeah. The Michigan guy.
Yeah, the Michigan guy. Just, you gotta, if you see a camera near you, you need to be on high alert. You might be on national television. You might be a meme. I remember the OU band girl that shed like a single tear when they lost to Florida in the national title game.
Yeah.
One quick note on Iowa before I want to get your top jobs in the Big 12 or college football, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
Iowa didn't convert a third down against Nebraska. Did you know that?
We both hate watch that game. And yep. Nebraska's awful, by the way. They are so bad.
Horrid.
What happened? Horrid. What's going on?
I have no idea. But they're not coming back.
Well, we had an interesting conversation about that on Saturday about, I forgot who, I might have been a million that asked if any of us think, were you there when we were talking about that?
Yeah, I was there.
If we think that Nebraska will ever be elite again?
Yeah.
You said no.
Like, absolutely no. I just don't see it, because not only is, you know, Tom Osborne and had it going, because he was recruiting California. Tommy Frazier was from Florida. They were recruiting nationally. And I think that was easier to do back then, before the rise of the SEC and the rise of, you know, really football on TV at all. And now they're in the Big Ten. They can't recruit Texas because they're in the Big Ten. No one wants to go up there to play. They're basically irrelevant. I mean, they're playing Iowa, Minnesota. They have no rivalries. They're completely out of place. And it's hard for any team to be as dominant as Nebraska was back then. They were the best program in the country. That 95 team was the best team in history. Don't give me 2001 Miami. 2001 Miami almost lost to Temple. They took an Ed Reed like punt return or block punt to beat them. 95 Nebraska won every game by 2 touchdowns, and sometimes 3 or 4, or most of the times 3 or 4. It was unbelievable. They're not coming back. They're not. I mean, coaching means everything. If they get a good coach, they can be good again. They could win the Big Ten, maybe, but they're never going to be the juggernaut that they were.
Winning the Big Ten doesn't mean much to you.
Well, if you listen to the playoff rankings. It's everything. It's the only conference that matters. By the way, Joey Galloway was beside himself, but there were only four teams in the top 10.
I've got a, I got an interesting stat here, and I just thought of this while we were talking, but in the last, I think it was the last decade, every Big 12 champion had led, I think it was every Big 12 champion but one had led the conference in turnover margin. And wow. Did you know that?
No. Makes sense, because all important stat, but that's still surprising.
This year, do you know who led the conference in turnover margin?
OU?
Oklahoma State.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that way. I guess they did get three and Baylor got zero, and there's games like that.
They had a positive 1.08 per game margin. So for every so they basically got plus one in the turnover department every game. Do you know who was second?
Baylor.
West Virginia.
Oh. Gross.
OU was third. So this is the first time, I believe in the last decade, that a team won the Big 12 without being first or second, because the year that whoever won it wasn't first, they were second.
Wow.
Has won the Big 12.
Well, and that shows you, I think West Virginia and Oklahoma State's offenses were not as good this year, and that's how they could finish 1-2 in that category and not finish 1-2 in the conference.
You mean not as good as they usually are?
Yeah, their offenses were not as good as they normally are.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State's offense was good. You know, I looked up their points per drive earlier today, and I don't know, people probably think that stats are for losers or whatever, but their points per drive, Oklahoma State offensively was like 16th in the country, 17th. Yeah, 17th in the country, 2.84. points per drive, which is pretty close to the 2010 mark. I think in 2010, the first Whedon team, they were at like 3.01 or something. So they're right there. West Virginia, they're 49th. So you're right about them. They were 2.35 points per drive. They weren't as good offensively as they usually are, or as I'm sure Dana wants them to be.
Yeah, I guess the numbers bear out that they were good. It just seems like the degree of difficulty was incredibly high for OSU. They put all that up despite really not being that great on offense. I think that had a lot to do with Rudolph, had a lot to do with Washington and those guys making plays at receiver.
Yeah.
Who would you favor, the 2010 OSU team against this year's team? I think I would favor the 2010 team by 10 points.
Oh, 10 points?
I think so. I mean, they had Whedon, Blackman, Young Randall.
Young Randall is something that I like.
Yeah. Freshman Randall was incredible.
Yeah, he was so good.
They had Hunter too.
Before we get to that, one more note: Oklahoma State second in the country on points per long offensive drive. So, 80 or more yards, they were second in the country in points per drive.
Wow,
that's crazy, right?
That does not seem like it should be at all. I don't know. Maybe stats do lie. Maybe stats are for losers.
They scored. They were better on long drives than they were on overall drives.
Isn't that incredible, considering they literally can't run the ball at all?
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe they just get backed up and they just go deep.
Yeah, just throw. I thought they should have thrown it up for grabs more to Washington against OU. I mean, just let him go do it. Let him.
Well, you
make the game one-on-one, him and Sanchez. You could game.
Yeah. Yeah, he owned Sanchez, but you could tell the point where Yurcich finally said, "Screw it, I don't care." Like, we're just
5,000.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could tell the exact moment when that happened. But 2010 versus 2015. Yeah, I'd favor 2010 by a field goal. I still think this team was pretty good. I just think that Baylor and OU were, I mean, OU was, we talked about it, they looked like the best team in the country on Saturday. And if the playoffs started next weekend, I think they'd win it. I don't know if they will, because it's starting New Year's Eve, but they're good. They're really, really good.
Well, and I'm looking up the scores of the 2010 team. Man, they gave up a lot of points.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up 47 to OU and Bedlam lost. They gave up.
They didn't give up as many as this team, though, in terms of points per drive.
Is that right?
Yeah. The 2010 team was better or more efficient.
Well, and this 2010 team laid the smack down in some games that this team did not.
Yeah.
They killed Texas. They killed Baylor.
Yeah, I think the 2010 team was better. I think the 2011 team was better. 2013 would be interesting because I feel like this team's offense was better, but that defense in 2013 was pretty good. That's the best defense that that Gundy's ever had from a statistical standpoint.
That's right. And the 2010 team, I'm looking at their schedule still, their loss at home to Nebraska is equal in my mind to OU losing to Texas this year.
Yeah,
Taylor Martinez, who couldn't throw a forward pass.
I think
him up.
What was he, like 22 for 27 for like 360 and five touchdowns?
He turned into Drew Brees.
It was unreal. It was unbelievable.
How did they lose that team? They gave up 51 points.
Hey, don't wear the all-orange uniforms.
Oh, yeah, they wore those on Saturday.
And they wore them at that Nebraska game.
Yeah, and they wore them in Bedlam 2008 when they lost. I don't think they've won a big. Now they wore them in the biggest games that they were underdogs in. To be fair,
yeah, they. I think they
wear those against Louisiana Lafayette. You'll be just fine.
I think they did
in 2010.
Yeah.
Rank the top Big 12 jobs.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that, or you want to do the national jobs? It's the silly season.
Let's roll through Big 12 real quick. Just tell me what you. I had. I'll just roll through them, and you tell me what you agreed with and disagreed with. I had OU 1, Baylor 2, Oklahoma State 3, TCU 4, Texas 5, Tech 6, West Virginia, Iowa State, Kansas State, and the Kansas Jayhawk puking into the trash can at number 10.
Your bottom. You have 2 8s. You have on your website, K-State and Iowa State are both 8.
That's embarrassing.
Well, they're basically the same, right? Your bottom half is correct. I would put Kansas 10, K-State. I'd probably have K-State ahead of Iowa State, but that's picking nits.
Yeah.
Then West Virginia. I would have West Virginia probably over Texas Tech.
Really?
I don't know. The distance factor is a big deal, though, in the Big 12, so maybe for that reason. But Tech's out there on its own, too. It's kind of out there.
Yeah, but they can get all those West Texas kids.
Yeah. But West Virginia can recruit the East Coast, Florida. They get some Florida kids.
They get all your Iowa boys.
Do they?
Well, I don't know. East Coast-ish.
Yeah. Iowa's not on the East Coast.
Well, yeah.
All right. This is where you just went haywire. You have Texas at 5. Texas is the best job in the Big 12. Better than OU.
No. Yep. I can listen to Texas being 2, 3, 4, whatever, but it's not better than OU. Here's my thing. If you're the head coach at Texas, there's so much extracurricular burden put on you. You've got the Longhorn Network. You've got all the freaking boosters down there that want you to play in their golf. I mean, just all this stupid stuff.
You don't think Bob Stoops has all that? How many coaches shows he does?
Yeah.
He does a radio, TV, the press conference, the Sunday coaches show. He's got plenty of obligations for their Sooner Sports Network.
No, you're right. But it seems like it. And maybe I'm overrating like the Longhorn Network's importance or whatever. It just seems like Texas is more of a burden than OU. And I go back to why couldn't, and you're going to argue with this, but why couldn't Texas get somebody better than Charlie Strong if it's such a great job?
Well, that's a fair argument. But I would also say, and your better argument is Texas hasn't been good for like 80 out of 100 years. Like, you know, maybe that's a little much, but they weren't good in the 80s. They weren't good in the 90s. Basically, Darryl Royal and Mack Brown is about it. But here's why Texas is a better job. It's the University of Texas. If you know what you're doing, you can get any coach you want. And the reason OU's been such a more successful football program is they've hired much better coaches. Texas has hired bad coaches. John Makovic, get out of here. They've basically hired a bunch of John Blakes and a bunch of Howard Schnellenbergers. Yeah. And Mack Brown, their most successful coach of the modern era, won 2 Big 12 titles in 16 years. 2. Because he was going up against Bob, because Bob's a better coach. But he got all that leeway. There's not this big, great pressure on the coach at Texas. I mean, Charlie Strong's going to keep his job, and he won 4 games. Like, there's no pressure at all, as much as you think, I don't think.
So there's no pressure at all at Texas?
There's pressure, but they also aren't going to fire you after 2 years. And look at Mack Brown couldn't beat Bob Stoops. It took the 2 best quarterbacks in the history of their school just to win a Big 12 championship, Vince Young and Colt McCoy. and he won two Big 12 championships in 16 years. They wanted to run. Some OU fans wanted Bob Stoops gone this year, coming into the year, and he's won. He won eight, now nine Big 12 titles.
Do you feel like I am underrating the Texas job just because Texas has been down a little bit?
I think it's that, and I think you overrate the Longhorn network and the obligations, because Bob's, they run, they ride Bob like Seabiscuit. He does so many media obligations. He's busy as hell.
And
he,
but
not any more so than Charlie Strong.
I also feel like the scrutiny you're under at Texas is greater than at OU in terms of media. Yeah. What is Bob Stoops has John Hoover coming after him? Okay. Like, no. Like, it's not Bob Stoops.
Who's going after Charlie Strong? Kirk Bowles? I mean.
Well, yeah. I just feel like nationally there's more of a spotlight on Texas, I guess. I don't know. I was talking about this with.
I think they're very close. I think they're basically. I ranked the top 10 jobs, and I put Texas at 5 and OU at 6 in the country. They're right. They're the same job, I think. But I think Texas is better because they have more money, bigger program as far as, you know, athletic program goes. They make a bajillion dollars, and they're the University of Texas. Every kid in Texas, if you do a good enough job recruiting, will want to go there.
Yeah, I did underrate their ability to get five stars. I mean,
was getting five stars, yeah, but he just couldn't coach.
If you look at their classes, it's unreal. Like, just the stars that they
get. If Texas had hired Art Briles, it's a wrap. It's over.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, it's over with.
Can you imagine?
No. I mean, I don't want to. It's terrifying. Imagine what kind of offense he'd have if he was the University of Texas instead of Baylor. He's still getting whoever he wants, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie Cannon would be a Longhorn right now if Art Briles was the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That would be – I forgot about – because we talked about that when all that stuff was being rumored and everything. That'd be insane if he was there. That'd be I'd be like riding Mike Holder trying to get OSU in the Big Ten instead of away from it.
And you ranked Baylor 2, OSU 3, TCU 4. I don't have a big problem with any of that. I think Oklahoma State's a good job. I would rank it as a top 25 job. Would you?
Yeah. It'd
be in the 20s somewhere. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good football jobs out there.
I think it's between 20 and 30. Yeah.
It's a lot better than it ever was because of the facilities, because of how much they can pay their assistants. You can get kids to Stillwater because you can recruit Texas. It's a pretty good job, and I think if Mike Gundy were to leave, I think a lot of coaches would want that job.
Yeah, it's still not a. I mean, is it a tier two job? If the schools you listed earlier, those five star schools, are tier one jobs, is Oklahoma State a tier two? I sort of feel like it's at the top of like a tier three.
Yeah, it's a high three star instead of a five.
Yeah,
that's where I'd put it. But just, you know, they get 60,000 on a good night, you know, 58,000. That's still not quite, you know, some of those other fan bases that get, you know, 80,000, 100,000.
What was your top 10 nationally? I didn't make one, so I'll just point out everything that's wrong with yours.
Okay, give me a second. I got to pull it up on Twitter. But one was Florida. Do you agree with that? And here's why I have Florida number one. Florida has the most recruits. It's by far the best state for high school talent.
No.
Yeah, it is.
More than Texas?
Yes. Go look it up. More pros in the NFL from Florida by a wide margin.
Okay.
And Florida is the University of Florida. They're the SEC school. They're the biggest university, the biggest fan base. They have the most resources in the state. It's been a sleeping giant until Spurrier woke it up. And it's still I think it's the best job in the country. Do you disagree with that?
Is that tough for you to admit, being a Florida State guy?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that a Florida State fan's admitting that tells you how good a job it is. I mean, Urban Meyer went in there in a week, won a title. You know, he won with Ron Zook's recruits.
I can be talked into Florida. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like... Yeah.
It's an argument. I mean, all this is subjective.
Well, the problem is I can't think of one to put above it. I don't think...
Well, what about these two? And Al, you're going to argue with this one now with the recent development. I have USC at 2.
No.
No?
No. Is USC, is that a good job? The problem is, here's my problem. I equate recent success to being a good job. And that's not how, I'm saying that's an incorrect way to look at it. And I'm doing a poor, like, I basically just took the top 10 in the Big 12 this year and ranked them as the best jobs. Like, that's not how you're supposed to look at it. So I think I'm doing a poor job of looking at recent success and equating it to it being a good coaching job. But I don't think USC's too.
Well, here's why USC's too, just for me. They are the West Coast school. Everyone on the West Coast wants to go to USC. There was that great story where this coach, when the job was open, said they had a five-star kid committed to them, and then he decommits and goes to USC, and they're saying, well, what are you going over there? They don't have a coach. They don't have a coach yet. And the recruit was like, it doesn't matter. It's SC. They'll get someone good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the power of USC. Now, they don't have, like, the facilities. They play in the old Coliseum. But who on the West Coast? I mean, it's basically them and Oregon. That's the only two like power programs on the West side right now. So, and you combine that with all the history and tradition, it's tough to beat. Now you could argue now with them hiring an interim coach, it may have lost some appeal.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, like that. Do better. Like like people get so enamored with, like, when interim coach does a great job and everyone likes them, they fall in love, and it's never a good idea. Just look at West Virginia with the Bill Stewart thing. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
And the interim coaches rarely work out. But I have Ohio State.
Sean Sutton?
Yeah. Coaches in waiting. Yeah. Jimbo Fisher was a coach in waiting. He's worked out. That's probably the only one. I have Ohio State 3. You could argue they're 1, but I have them at 3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would put USC behind, I think, Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Bama, maybe LSU.
Michigan?
Michigan's a good job.
It's not better than Ohio State.
No, but I mean,
Ohio State has the biggest fan base in the country.
I'm not saying that Michigan's better than Ohio State. I'm saying it's better than USC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hear you. I disagree, but... All right, I'll just go through it. 1, Florida. 2, USC. 3, Ohio State. 4, Alabama.
Yeah.
5, Texas. 6, Oklahoma. 7, Florida State. 8, Georgia. 9, LSU. And 10, I struggled between Oregon and Tennessee. I put Tennessee because I was there this year, and they have 110,000, and that place is big time. They just haven't hired well, much like Texas.
Yeah. What about Texas A&M?
See, I'm down on A&M. I think they have resources, they have the stadium, they have the fan base, but they also have these outsized expectations. They think they are a top five job in the country. They think they are this grandiose football program, and they're not. They've won double digit games, what, 2 times since 98 or whatever I brought up one time on the pod. And yeah. And one of those was with the best player they've ever had, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in college football. they've done diddly poo.
Diddly poo.
Diddly poo. Now, maybe I've been saying Texas hasn't hired the right coaches. Maybe that's the problem. But they like someone a lot, and what's he doing in the SEC? Squat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
good on paper, but not practice.
Well, your list is good. It's a difficult thing to argue because what makes a job good? Like what are we even defining as good? We're saying close to a lot of recruits, lots of money, good tradition. I mean, what is your definition of good?
Big fan support, big fan base. Like, 'cause Alabama is just gigantic as far as their fan base.
Yeah.
Like the whole state breathes Alabama. I think that's a big deal too. That's why I could argue LSU should be higher, 'cause it's the pro program in the state. And they have such
same with OU though.
Yeah, I mean they're right up there. I got them at 6.
Yeah,
I mean OU's legit. And like that game in Dallas, if it's Bama OU, it's going to be 50-50. Alabama's entire state's going to go to Dallas, even if they don't have tickets.
Where was Iowa on your list?
Oh, it's probably next to Minnesota.
Above or below Western Kentucky.
They're Power 5. I'll give them the nod over that. But it's probably next to Iowa State. You know, they split the last 16 games they played, so it's probably about equal to Iowa State, the second worst team in the Big 12, second worst program.
Yeah, it's super fun to talk about. I think that the ones that I would, I don't know that I would replace any in your top 10. Did you have Michigan in your top 10?
No.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I'd put Michigan in there. Michigan's good. Good job.
It's pretty good.
But the only ones that I would...
It would probably be like 12 or 11.
Well, I was going to say, the only ones that I would even think about dropping in that top 10 is A&M, Auburn, Oregon, and Michigan.
Yeah, that's a good list. Those are all good.
Maybe Duke.
No, not Duke. Not Iowa, not Duke.
Is Miami still a good job? Do we know about that?
I think it's kind of gone the way of Nebraska. I think if you get a good coach in there and all he has to do is recruit Miami.
They don't have support though.
No, but they have bandwagon support. Like the Miami Heat, when they got good, everyone was there. It's the place to be.
Yeah.
And Miami football used to be like that. If they just get a coach who can just keep the... Because Jimbo Fisher is just raiding Miami. He gets everyone out of there right now.
Raiding Miami.
I mean, he is. I mean, he gets... Dalvin Cook from Miami. Best player on the team.
Dalvin Cook might be the best player in the country.
I think he is. And he's the only reason that Florida State has won 10 games. Like, the only reason. So, I think if they get a good coach in there, they'll win. But they're not going to win 5 national titles in a 10-year span like they did.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, 20-year span.
Real quick, Georgia job. Are you surprised that they fired Richt?
No, that had been coming for a few years, hadn't it? And I think that makes the Georgia job almost more appealing than LSU in that they let Richt coach for 16 years, and he was a good coach, won 19 games. You can do a lot worse than Mark Richt, believe me. He made the SEC title game several times. But he won, one SEC championship in 16 years? Yeah. Georgia's a little like A&M in that they think they should be better than they are. But that's a legit job. They're in the East. They should be winning big. And it's more appealing than LSU because they gave Richt time. They didn't fire him right away. And I think there's a little more slack and leeway at Georgia. Georgia hadn't won a national title in 35 years, which stunned me.
Yeah.
But it's a good job. Georgia has some of the most recruits in the country, so... I have Georgia at 8.
Last question. Who's going to win the Heisman?
Derrick Henry's got it wrapped up, doesn't he?
Does he?
I think so.
The problem for Baker, I mean,
he had 46 carries and like 270 yards.
Oh, I saw. I mean, that's all they do. Like, they don't.
I know.
I mean,
it's not fair, but I think he's going to win it. I think Mayfield may have been better player the whole year.
Well, Mayfield's going to be hurt by the fact that he's not playing on Saturday and that he didn't have a great – he sort of had a 2011 Whedon game against Oklahoma State on Saturday, and that they didn't really have to throw it. He did throw it a little, but they didn't need to, clearly.
No. He had his Heisman moment with the block.
Yeah, I did see that. But hasn't the Heisman sort of become like – like, you know how we were talking about slots with the college football playoff? Like, SEC, like, there's just slots. It's like SEC running. You could even say Alabama running back.
Yeah.
Big 12 quarterback. Big 10 athlete. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just.
Stanford running back.
Yeah, Stanford running. Like, it just feels like there are these slots, and we just put labels on teams and players, and it's just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't feel as special as it used to, I guess.
Well, until this year, it's been strictly a quarterback award, just the quarterback on the best team. I think 13 out of 15 years a quarterback has won it, which is going to be crazy if Mayfield doesn't win it because I think he's the best quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is you don't have, as much as this kills me to say it, like you don't have a Robert Griffin to where you're like, okay, I don't know if he's the best player, but I'm watching every game that he's playing. And same with Johnny Manziel, and same with Jameis Winston. And going back to Vince Young, and, well, I guess Vince Young didn't win it, but going back to Reggie Bush, like, I'm watching every single game. You don't really have anybody like that this year. Mayfield's the closest, I guess, but even with him, it didn't feel like it was must-see TV.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Deshaun Watson's not keeping my attention.
No.
At Clemson.
No. And people are trying to talk me into McCaffrey at
Yeah, I've seen like 2 seconds of him, and I see what he looks like. It's like, this guy's one of the best 5 players in the country. He's like my size. But he's awesome. It's crazy.
Yeah. So,
okay. Mayfield's going to New York, though. I don't know if Channel 5 will send me or not, but he'll be in New York.
You guys could bro it up in Manhattan.
Dude, that'd be awesome. Mayfield's pretty cool. Did you see his one last thing and we'll go, and I know OSU fans aren't going to like this, but I thought it was hilarious. They grew out the Fu Manchus.
Yeah.
Did you hear his explanation?
No, I didn't, but I thought it looked stupid. Like, it's a dumb look. But what was his explanation?
Well, you'll like it more after the explanation. He was asked about it. All the quarterbacks had it.
Yeah.
He said, well, it's something we're doing now for Bedlam. It's a tradition now. We'll do it next year too, but we're the real outlaws. There's a new sheriff in town.
Wow. Wow.
OSU fans probably hate Mayfield so much.
That sounds about... I don't hate him. He's a baller. I mean, watching him on Saturday,
I can't believe he's as good as he is.
He's just a baller. He's the dude in the pickup game that you're like, well, why do you have 35 right now? Like, like, why are you good? But he is, and he keeps doing it. Like,
he keeps talking smack.
It's not a fluke. I was talking to my dad about this. He's like Johnny, and he's not gonna play in the NFL. Like, he's not an NFL quarterback, but he's a dang good college quarterback. And I mean, that's good for Stoops for getting him, for lucking out and getting him instead of Trevor Knight.
Yep, fell in his lap.
Yep. Okay, Carson, are we doing one later this week? Is this?
Might be a little awkward.
Can we get J.W. Walsh on yet?
I don't know. We should try. John J. Rambo.
Yeah, we'll talk about the playoffs. We'll try to get a guest on. We'll do something.
You think Gundy would ever come on with us?
You know who I would like to have on is Holder.
Oh, my. That'd be kind of intense.
I feel like Gundy would just go into like...
coach speak.
Yeah, like cliche Gundy.
Good, just press conference mode where you're just on autopilot.
Good, not great. Do you like our podcast, coach? It's good, not great. You know, stuff like that.
It's like, yeah, I prefer podcasts where you don't talk, never say a word. He just listens to dead air in his spare time.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But Holder would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to pick his brain because he's pretty candid. He'll say what's on his mind.
He'll say stuff.
Next time I see him roaming the sidelines, I'll ask him.
Yeah, do it. Okay. Maybe at the Russell Sweatpants Bowl.
Maybe in Orlando, we'll line that up.
Okay. We will talk to you later on, Carson.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.